This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Green Tea CR Phytosome Formula from Purity Products. It's the power of three of nature's top superfoods, a clinically tested green tea plus curcumin and resveratrol, all in one simple capsule. It's clinically proven to support your energy, vitality, and cardiovascular function. The secret behind Green Tea CR is its phytosome matrix, which boosts its green tea power by over 200% compared to regular green tea. Our friends at Purity Products have a free bottle for you to put to the test. Just pay $4.95 for shipping. Experience the power of this trio and see how good you can feel. Call 1-800-218-6030. That's 1-800-218-6030. Call now. As these move fast, dial 1-800-218-6030. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Once again, we're here to answer your questions. I'm with Layla Mutin, who's our nutritionist in residence, and takes two of us to provide capable responses to your excellent questions, questions who come to us via radio program at AOL.com. And we got lots of great questions this week. How you doing, Layla?
Okay, Dr. Hoffman. How are you?
Good. Are you withstanding the cold?
Oh.
Cold, oppressive, dark, gloomy.
Yeah, but the days are starting to get longer now.
That's true. I noticed, you know, at 5 o'clock, it's no longer pitch black.
Yes,
yeah,
which is nice.
It is pretty dark when I wake up, though. I have to kind of smack myself around. I have a really bright light that I have right beside my bed, and I turn it on. It's like, wham!
You know, nice.
Super SAD light.
Right.
And, you know, get the wake-up call. So,
that's good.
You know, it's as cold as it is, the days are getting longer. How about my timing in writing the article, chill out, it may be healthy for you.
Yeah, just go outside.
I just laid it out there. Because I worry, you know, because we plan these articles ahead, and I was hoping like, okay, if we drop that article in, I hope it's not going to be like, you know, 60 degrees outside. You know, one of those famous January or February thaws that we have in the Northeast.
Yeah.
No, instead the temperature's headed in the opposite direction. Single-digit range.
Yeah. Well, people in the Midwest can chill out.
Yeah, they can.
60 to 50 below zero with
the
wind chill.
They can build some brown fat.
Wow. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't take much to get your brown fat if you live in Chicago or Minneapolis or Detroit.
Right, right.
Oh my goodness.
Gosh. Yeah.
So before we get to questions, I just want to get your reaction on this. This is a story from Bloomberg News, and the headline here is, Big Food Blamed for Ills Far Beyond Flab in Sweeping Report.
Oh.
Big Food Gets Blamed for Ills Far Beyond Flab. Okay. Just pick out a random quote from this story. The report echoed past indictments of sectors such as tobacco, alcohol, energy, and firearms for using political clout to shape laws, policy, and health guidelines. A 43-member panel pointed to food companies' lobbying prowess as a reason for nutrition recommendations that sometimes have run counter to scientific evidence.
Yes.
What say you, Layla?
Oh, yeah. You have to choose between science and politics. Unfortunately, they all choose politics. So, we advance the truth in science around here. I know, Dr. Hoffman, you and I do. And many practitioners like us. So thank goodness for that.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So what they're saying is the global rate of obesity has tripled in the last four decades. That is not a success in terms of food policy.
No.
It's
not a matter of drink your Coca-Cola, just exercise a little more. It's just not working out that way.
The only problem is that they call for more regulation.
Mm.
And so, for example, there's been this initiative, this Eat Lancet report, which is this multi-member panel that has advocated for a dramatic reduction in your consumption of red meat. I think they give you like a half of a piece of bacon every week or something.
You know? Oh, my. Don't bother.
Yeah. And, so what that's going to lead to is, I think it's going to lead to, because they're always follow the money trail. They're in this effort to reduce intake of so-called harmful foods,
yeah,
they're going to come up with all these ersatz foods, mm-hmm. you know, that low fat, low calorie,
right.
meatless, blah, blah, blah.
All made from soy and hydrolyzed vegetable protein.
And God
all
knows
kinds
what
of gluten.
Added. God yeah. knows what it added. I was reading an article by a woman who test drove one of those hamburgers, like it was the something, the True Burger or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Or whatever, they have a catchy name. They shouldn't even be able to call it a burger because
no.
it's not, it's a pseudo burger, but it's made of vegetable protein. And she said it when she bit into it, she said the texture and taste were very much like a hamburger and it was like juicy and red. But she said when it came to digestion,
uh-oh.
That was a whole different thing. She felt extremely bloated and uncomfortable after eating it. Because, of course, it was full of soy and it was full of various additives
mm-hmm.
and flavoring ingredients that her stomach was just not used to.
Her stomach know. Said, what?
Yeah, it's like, this isn't real.
Send that back.
Yeah, it's not real. This is not something we evolved to eat.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so
that's
anyway. Right. So, you know, obviously the same old theme, the food industry
right.
Is conspiring with government health regulators to have a free firing zone. I mean, same, they did that with tobacco. They've done it with sugar. They've mm-hmm. done it with alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
They've dug up these evidence of collusion between regulators and scientists and mm-hmm. the beverage industry so that they,
right.
you know.
And scientists who are paid off
on the
to
take.
Come up with,
yeah.
on the take, to come up with that as a solution.
Mm-hmm.
So that's unfortunate. It's really... Yeah. So you have to be a wise consumer. You have to scrutinize everything you read and hear about and so forth and eat whole foods the yep. way they're found in nature. That's the best advice I can give anybody.
Yep.
So and not your hydrolyzed vegetable protein, soy, something, who knows what burger, meat flavored. Ooh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to questions. Radio program at AOL.com, as I said, is the destination for questions. We have quite a few good ones
this
week.
We do. Oh, Dr. Hoffman, here's one. Hello, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. Just read in the Jerusalem Post that Israeli scientists are to patent a cure for cancer with little or no side effects. The description of a drug method seems plausible to me, a layman. What do you think?
Yes, my first reaction to the headline was
yeah.
Israeli scientists find cancer cure, or you know, many variants on the theme.
Yeah.
Was, you know, first of all, you don't read it in Al Jazeera, you know, which is,
no.
you read it in the Jerusalem Post.
That's
you
right.
Know, okay.
Yes.
But it was also echoed by many papers across the world. And, mm-hmm. you know, God bless those Israelis. They're always, you know, doing mm-hmm. amazing stuff. They're leaders in CBD research, for example.
Wow.
You know, they have really been far ahead of the curve in looking at hyperbaric oxygen mm-hmm. as a plausible treatment.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of smart folks in Israel. There are a lot of great scientists. The Weizmann Institute, which I think is where this study came out of.
Yes.
You know, so my initial reaction is, I'm not going to read this. Because how many times have we cured cancer
right.
since Richard Nixon?
Is this clickbait again?
Yeah, Richard yeah. Nixon declared the war on cancer, what, in like 1969 or something like
mm-hmm.
that?
Mm-hmm.
That was a year I graduated high school, so look where we are now. But I said, you know, look, this is my beat.
Yeah.
I'm going to get asked about it, and I need to read this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I read it, and, you know, first of all, it's above my pay grade to critique this or say whether it's going to work or not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I read the principle, and the principle, from what I gather, is in some ways similar to the way they treat HIV now. Which is
yeah.
with multiple drugs simultaneously,
a cocktail
mm. of things that, because when you deal with a virus, just as when you deal with a cancer, resistance emerges. That's the problem with current therapy. We
yeah.
can kill cancer,
but it can come back mutated.
You know, it's like antibiotics. Antibiotics can kill harmful bugs, but the bugs will ultimately, some
yeah.
will survive, they'll mutate, they'll come back. And they'll come back in an even more virulent form. So that's why people ultimately fail chemo, fail radiation,
yeah.
And so on. So the theory is based on a bacteriophage delivery system,
yeah.
which delivers what are called necklaces of amino acids.
Yes, mutato, mutant toxic... mutant something toxin.
Okay.
Oh, I forgot.
They're actually small chains of amino acids,
yeah,
which are small enough to not cause an allergic reaction or an immune reaction, mm-hmm, by our own immune system.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hopefully that'll be borne out in further research that it won't cause a lot of side effects. Specifically targeting receptors on cancer cells and not on normal cells and wiping them out.
Yes.
Okay. So that's, I mean, yeah, and that's, a, it's just, all that sounds good. It's plausible.
Right.
Will it work? I didn't see a lot of confirmation this works in humans. And that's why I wonder, you know, why is there such
a big... It was a mouse study. Yeah.
Yeah. Why is there such a big hullabaloo about this? Because...
Because it could be a potential cure.
I know, but...
This is the plague of our lifetime.
I know that, but it is so preliminary. And, you know, the other thing is, I wonder, is there a proprietary aspect to this? Is this a startup? Is this going to be a startup that's going to be bought out by a big pharma?
I thought there was a pharmaceutical attached to this
and
as well.
Usually there is, for, yeah, you know, to support the development costs. But yeah, often you get small, nimble companies developing things. You know, that's the way that Genentech got started. And then it got bought out and absorbed, mm-hmm, you know, by much deeper pockets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so is there a strategy, you know, to garner investment or to start an IPO or to boost the price of the intellectual property?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what this, there may be a business story behind this that,
right,
I don't know about.
They're out to patent this,
of course,
alleged cure.
Right.
So, yeah.
And by the way, this is, yeah, not a holistic cure. This is a very high-tech cure.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be offered in conventional settings. You know, what I can say is that I'm encouraged by what's happening on the cancer front. I think,
yeah,
a lot of people are looking at cancer in very ingenious ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I was just met at a cocktail party. I was talking to a woman who works at Memorial Sloan Kettering, and she's, mm-hmm, been working for years and years on enhanced T-cell therapy.
Mm.
T-cells are the immune system defenders that go after invaders. And at Memorial, they seem to have finally come up. She's very excited. They're priming these T-cells to hunt down and destroy the cancer. So this would be great because that's actually invoking a natural principle, not a,
right,
destructive principle like chemo or radiation.
Yeah.
Get the body's own immune system to,
right,
resist the cancer.
Much less side effects. I think that's prime here too, because so much of the side effects can be as bad,
yeah,
as the illness itself.
So when I was talking to her, I joked with her. I said, so it's Coley's toxin. And Coley's toxin is something that was discovered, I think it was in the 19th century.
Uh-huh.
It was based on an observation that a guy with a big cancer, he came down with a terrible infection. When he came down with this terrible infection, his cancer went away. So the doctor, observing this, said, maybe if we inject like some kind of infectious agent into cancer patients, if they don't die of the infection, it'll help the immune system step up to,
yeah,
knock out the cancer. And in fact, this is his early work. And of course, everybody has said, great, but how do we do this in such a way that it's not, you know, really dangerous to the patient and, you know, half kill them? Well, that's also what we're doing now with things like, you know, CAR T-cell and monoclonal antibodies. These therapies are like sort of immune system activating therapies. But because they do that, it's hard to get a perfect laser-like response that kills just the cancer and doesn't,
right,
cause people to develop autoimmunity or harmful side effects.
This reminds me of something else I read recently about the benefit of fever.
Yes, that's what fever treatment.
Yeah.
And, you know, they even do
hyperthermia.
Hyperthermia is popular in Germany, for example,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, Dr. Atkins used to advocate that, and mm-hmm, although and there are few places that do this here,
mm-hmm,
but, you know, there's a lot of excitement in the cancer realm. And
yeah,
what's disappointing is that the findings, there's such a latency between findings that are very promising and a delivery to the patients for two reasons. One is regulatory.
Mm-hmm.
Another is, you know, will it be approved? Another is liability. Like, if you offer this therapy and it doesn't work, could you be sued because it's not standard therapy? Doctors,
yeah,
are afraid to step outside the bounds of what's called standard medicine,
yeah,
or accepted medical practices. And you know, the other problem too is financial. It's like, okay, great, we come up with these incredible cancer therapies, but for every life that we save, it's going to cost $2 million.
Right.
Are we going to be able to foot the bill for that?
Mm.
I mean, you could put up a GoFundMe or something to cure your cancer.
Right. I'm also thinking about the benefit of fever, because any time we get a fever, we are told to pop a Tylenol or take something to reduce the fever.
Yes.
Maybe fever in its natural state has a benefit. Now, don't recommend that you let your fever go to 103 and not do something about it. That would be terrible.
103 is a cutoff for adults. For kids, we can even sometimes even let it go a little. You know, I'm not a pediatrician, but kids' temperatures tend to run a little higher.
Mm.
That accelerates the response.
Right.
And it's the immune system being activated. We don't want to blunt the immune system response to infectious disease. But for cancer, obviously they're bold enough to subject themselves to the spotlight. You know, if I were coming up with a breakthrough cancer cure, I'd be very timid about, you know, announcing anything until I really
have it nailed down.
And, I can just say, I've done a study with, 100 patients. Mm-hmm. And, we cured...
a mouse study.
We cured 98 out of 100. Yeah. And then, boom, let the world know about it. But, it's just an unusual way to trumpet the potential of this therapy. I hope it pans out. But there's part of me that says I'm from Missouri. I'm skeptical.
Okay. You're from Missouri.
The expression is like, it kind of dates back to Harry Truman, who was from Missouri, and that's the skeptical state.
Oh, I see. All right.
Okay.
All right. Well, Don, thank you for this very thoughtful question. Let's see how it all pans out, right?
It
could be very exciting.
I just saw the story this morning.
Yes.
And I was saying I'm eventually going to have to answer it. I didn't anticipate having to answer it that within
this
hours.
This morning, came over the pipe at 7 a.m. this morning. I said, here we go. So
moral of the story.
Yes.
Let us do our best. We who work in the trenches with nutritional therapy, natural therapy, alternative therapy, mm-hmm. in conjunction with the best of conventional therapy, without killing the patients with the conventional therapy, to keep patients alive for a year or two or three or five, mm-hmm. until even if the cancer comes back, because there's hope with these therapies that come on stream. So some patients say, my cancer's not going away. But I said, we're keeping it at bay. You're alive.
Yeah.
And for every, 6-month period, you're still alive and around and you have an intact immune system
mm-hmm.
and you're relatively healthy and you can withstand the next breakthrough therapy, you have a bite at the apple.
Yes.
So I think it's encouraging to people who are battling cancer now.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't give people false hope and then they're disappointed when nothing comes,
Right.
When they feel, again, I've been burned again. We've been promising these breakthroughs. But it's mm-hmm. what's also interesting is it's not like one cancer. It's such a generalizable principle. It seems to be applicable. They feel it's so broadly based that it may be helpful.
Wow.
And that's what, like a lot of cancers now, it's like this therapy for brain cancer, this therapy for pancreatic cancer, this therapy for sarcoma, it's...
Mm-hmm.
It's not one size fits all. And this is like the broad brushstroke that seems to crack the code for all cancers. I'm wondering if that's really going to be the case.
Okay. Wow. Thanks, Dr. Hoffman, for all that. Okay. All right. Next question. This is from Bert. Bert has a perplexing health situation.
This one's about athlete's foot. Something not from cancer to athlete's foot.
No. Okay. It's not. Bert is a 45-year-old man. He's lost some weight, and the weight loss does concern him, but the aesthetic effects of his skin thinning bothers him more. As an aside, he was tested positive for SIBO. A comprehensive stool analysis did indicate dysbiosis.
Okay, that's all not relevant to the question.
Yeah.
Because...
But he sent us this information.
I know, but... Okay, so the point being is mm-hmm. you lost a lot of weight.
Right.
And presumably it was desired weight loss.
Yeah.
I mean, let's assume it is.
He says, my body slowly began to lose body fat and weight but retained muscle. I was already lean, so losing fat was undesirable.
So, okay. Well, there is this, what you call this, and everybody has this to some extent, is lipodystrophy. which is AIDS patients get it more with the drugs they're taking. Lipodystrophy is a loss of fat while maintaining muscle. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't look good. You look hollow.
Or the body fat redistributes itself in a way that is not necessarily pleasing.
It could be,
leaving the face.
Yeah, exactly. And you look hollowed out. Mm. Now, is there a nutritional therapy for lipodystrophy? And the answer is, I don't really know. I'm really trying to address the question. It's not a frivolous question, because I could easily say, okay, you lost weight, get some plastic surgery, tighten things up. That's what happens. That's why sometimes, women who have a heavy body but have a, subcutaneous fat in their face, they look younger.
Yes.
They look younger. Then they lose all the weight.
Plumpness goes away with the wrinkles. And then they lose the weight. They hollow. And I've heard this complaint from a lot of women.
Did we get that from a patient earlier today? She didn't mention it.
She lost weight, which is
desirable. But then she underwent some kind of cosmetic procedure.
To tighten things up. Yeah. That's something to do. There's also, the way we exercise our bodies to tighten things up and lift things, okay? You could do the same with your face.
Yeah, I remember this like today when I was a med student, so this is about 35 years ago, is they had one of the first gastric bypass patients, because they just started doing them when I was a med student. And the guy was he was like 450 pounds, and he lost weight to like 180 pounds, to normal weight. But I remember watching the surgery, because they removed a flap of redundant skin, because the fat disappeared, but the skin did not shrink.
Yes, all that stretched skin was now hanging.
Yeah, and I remember it was like stripping blubber from a whale, kind of thing. Yeah. They just take a, they took a chunk out and basically threw it on the cart, and then they sewed him back together so that he had a normal flat abdomen.
Right. And this happens with that kind of weight loss from morbid obesity. You're getting those skin flaps not just around your middle. You're getting it in your arms, your legs, the areas above your knees, all of that, even ankles to some degree, depending on how you were proportioned.
It's a case for plastic surgery.
It's a case for plastic surgery. Well, the good news is that Bert was able to regain some of the weight doing a modified SCD for his SIBO.
Okay.
That's good news.
There we're getting the question of pathological weight loss due to malabsorption, due to some kind of gastrointestinal issue, blah, blah, blah.
Right. So the SCD can cure a lot of things. If there is SIBO, if there is dysbiosis, can be helpful, but it may not help the crepey skin on your face.
Which tends to develop anyway as you age.
Exactly. He's a 45-year-old male.
Because collagen tends to degrade.
Yes.
Sometimes I reach for, I have this, I'm a bit of a hoarder. So, if I get a rubber band, that holds a broccoli together or something, I throw it in the drawer because I might need the rubber band later.
How you do that?
So then I reach for the rubber band. I go, oh my God, I forgot about that rubber band. And then I see that it's been there for like a year. And it's lost its elasticity.
And it breaks.
It's not even it breaks. It just stretches. It's like socks that, lose their elasticity. That's what happens to elastin.
Yeah.
Which is, elastin is the thing that gives us our suppleness and flexibility of our skin. So elastin, it doesn't regenerate that much as you age.
And not like keratin or something.
Yeah.
Which may be helped by vitamin C.
Vitamin C, lysine, of course, yeah, okay,
but silicon,
but
yeah,
show me a centenarian who looks like a Playgirl bunny, and I rest my case.
Oh my, okay, I just had a visual.
I'm dating myself here. Okay.
Oh, Bert. Yeah, consider, plastic surgery, face exercises, regaining some of the weight if the weight loss has been too much, that could maybe help. All right.
Or what do you think about that, where you put those electrodes on your face and they sort of zap your face?
Oh, well, here, electrical stimulation can be helpful. I think even Suzanne Summers was touting a particular product, if I could say. I think it's called...
This is before or after the Thighmaster?
No, way after the Thighmaster. Way after the Thighmaster.
Okay.
And Facemaster. It's actually called Facemaster. So it's electrical stimulation, but I've seen other infomercials with similar products where the electrical stimulation can help lift. You're supposed to use this on a daily basis, however. I'm like, well, why don't you just exercise your face muscles the way you exercise your body to help lift things? That could be something. I know there are books out there about it, but that could be something. Okay. But yeah, electrical stimulation. It enhances circulation too, which is a good thing. For those in some kind of rehab after a surgery, for example, when I had, this is 2.5 decades ago, I had bilateral bunionectomies, and part of my physical therapy was electrical stimulation. It really helped to enhance the healing.
Oh, okay.
It was actually very nice.
Oh, wow.
So
That's it's a principle in healing, knitting bones together and so on.
Right.
Okay.
All this time gone by?
A lot of time has elapsed. Yeah. So we're out of time for part one.
Yeah.
Excuse me. You finish this up.
Yes. As a matter of fact, we're out of time for part one. So join us in part two, Q&A with Layla.
And I'll fix this frog in my throat. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is part one of today's Q&A with Layla. It's the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.